Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A fantastic Friday to you. So glad to have you with me. So glad to hear the old show music back. Pledge Drive is officially over, but still kind of ongoing. Talk about that in a little bit. But we have a normal, regular programming hour here on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. And so happy to be with you. So happy to give out this number to you for you to call in and talk to me for free. 1-888-914-9149. You can also email the program, cale@relevantradio.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account is at Cale Clark Show. And if you saw on Twitter earlier, I'd posted something today that a lot of you listening out there and a lot of you who saw this would be intimately familiar with. A brutal dictatorship in a majority Catholic country not too long ago. There are a lot of people out there who want to erase this from the history books. It's an incredible story. I will have more on this in just a moment. Plus, what our real hope is all about. I'm going to be sharing with you later today maybe the best quote I've ever read. It is straight fire. I can't wait to share this with you. It is phenomenal. It's a life-changing quote. That's coming up later as well. But if you want to call in, once again, that number is 888-914-9149. As I said, our pledge drive is officially concluded. However, we haven't quite hit our target yet of $3 million for this year's spring pledge campaign, the Give Hope campaign here at Relevant Radio. But we're really, really close. I think we're about $30,000 away. So I'm sure that we'll hit that with your help. And it's not too late to make a donation if you've been thinking about it, but you haven't yet done it. You can still give online through relevantradio.com or the app. Or you can still call that pledge drive number. It's still operational, 877-291-0123. And don't forget that anybody who makes a donation during this program is going to have their donation matched 100%. It's still 100% matching partnership challenge hour. So thanks to everybody who did donate this week. Last night, we actually had a record hour. I think a lot of that had to do with my daughter, Michaela, coming on in the last few minutes to tell kid jokes, and they went over really, really well. It was a lot of fun. If you missed that episode or any of the other shows this week, you can check the podcast wherever you get them or on the Relevant Radio app or the website. Well, this show, the Cale Clark Show, is about faith, facts, and fun. We had a lot of fun last night with those jokes, but I want to start tonight with facts. An incredible story that I read last night in the Los Angeles Times, and we have so many listeners out on the West Coast in California. We appreciate each and every one of you. So you might have seen this too, or if you do make a habit of reading the LA Times, it was all about the Marcos regime in the Philippines. You remember this, the dictator, Ferdinand Marcos, and obviously his wife Imelda, who could forget her, in her infamous shoe collection, over 3,000 pairs of shoes. She became a celebrity of sorts for this all over the world. But the truth of the matter is that during the 14-year period that Ferdinand Marcos Sr. ruled over the Philippines, he was imposing martial law, and he ordered the killings of thousands of his political opponents over the years. He plundered billions of dollars, stole billions from the people of the Philippines, filled his family coffers, and of course, he and his wife, Imelda, their family lived in extreme luxury. Pope John Paul II very famously made a couple of trips to the Philippines during the Marcos regime, and one of them happened in the year 1981 in February, and then he came again in January of 1995. Now, the first time the Pope went there to the Philippines in 81, Ferdinand Marcos, the dictator, was desperately trying to make a good impression on the pontiff. So he lifted martial law, but it was only temporary. It was only temporary. And the martial law had been imposed since 1972, unbelievably long time. And the Pope was there. One of the things that he was there doing was he actually did for the first time a beatification outside of the Vatican, where the martyr, San Lorenzo Ruiz, was beatified by the Pope in the Philippines. He perished along with many other martyrs in Nagasaki. Young Lorenzo Luis was a catechist who was on a mission to Japan when he was killed. So that was, and if I'm not mistaken, at that point when the Pope visited the Philippines, that was the largest gathering in human history to that point. But all of the history of the brutal Marcos regime is now being erased, or at least there are attempts to erase it, thanks to the social media app TikTok. And if you're not on TikTok, that could mean you're of a certain vintage. It's a new app. It's growing like wildfire on social media. Its revenues are expected to double this year to well over $11 billion. Extremely popular among the young. Short little video clips, a lot of crazy memes, jokes, dance memes. But it's becoming a big, big tool for people to spread propaganda as well. And David Pearson, writing for the Los Angeles Times, had a piece up last night about the fact that dictator Ferdinand Marcos' son, whose name is Ferdinand Marcos Jr., but he's more well-known by his nickname Bong Bong, don't ask. He's the son of the late dictator. He is running for the presidency in the Philippines, and the election is going to happen on Monday. And so far, he is the front runner. And one of the reasons why is because of an incredible misinformation campaign, an incredible erasure of recent history that's taking place largely through TikTok. And if you're a Filipino Catholic or a Filipino American Catholic who has lived through the brutal Marcos regime, and you can't believe your eyes when you're reading this stuff, when you're hearing about this, I want to hear from you. Once again, that number to call is 888-914-9149. My wife's parents are from the Philippines, and their families did live through this brutal, torturous regime. And in the piece in the LA Times, they interviewed a young woman who was only 25 years old. Her name was Crisdel Almarez. She was born 10 years after the late dictator Ferdinand Marcos was overthrown in 1986. And so she was born in 96, and she only thinks of this time period as kind of a golden age for the Philippines. Why? It's all because of TikTok. And so here's what she was quoted as saying. She said, "TikTok remembers the good times. We don't believe the history books anymore. We have social media now." End of quote. Well, that's a scary quote right there. "We don't believe the history books anymore. We have social media now." And so, wow. Now, Bong Bong, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., who is 64 years old, he's the son of the late dictator. He is, again, the front runner in the presidential election that's going to happen on Monday. He has harnessed the power of TikTok and its vast network of online troll farms to try to rewrite his dad's violent regime. Today's youth who are using TikTok have no idea. They didn't live through this stuff. And so basically what's going on here is that the Marcos regime is being painted as some sort of a Camelot, like the Kennedy years in the United States. And there are all these slick videos that kind of make the Marcos family look like some sort of a political dynasty, very glamorous. There's a popular video on TikTok that's set to a tune by the pop singer Tove Lo, her famous song Habits. And in this video, Imelda Marcos is hanging out with Prince Charles and, you know, wearing ball gowns, and it's glamour to the extreme. And so Bong Bong, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., is using this to full effect to try to make people forget all the things that happened in the 1970s, in the 1980s. And so there's another one where Ferdinand Marcos Sr. is like kind of walking down the street. He's wearing his barong, which is a traditional outfit in the Philippines, and it's set to the tune of Gangsta's Paradise by Coolio. Well, he was a gangster, literally, back in the day. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to win over the Filipino population who's too young to remember all the economic difficulties, martial law, the human rights violations of the Marcos regime. And so this is a false nostalgia that's being planted, and it's all it's all done through the help of what they call troll farms. We've heard of online trolls. Well, there are things that are called troll farms, and they're basically these organizations that operate thousands upon thousands of fake accounts on social media, on TikTok, on other platforms like Twitter, like Facebook, like YouTube. And basically what they're doing is when they're pushing out this false narrative of the Marcos years, and as soon as stuff gets out on TikTok, people cross-platform post it. So they're posting it to Facebook, they're posting it to YouTube. And as soon as one of the accounts uploads a video, thousands of others immediately glom onto it and share it. And eventually the algorithms, all these social media platforms have algorithms that get tripped when you reach a critical mass of shares, and then it just goes viral. It just goes viral. And that's exactly what's happened with these viral videos on TikTok trying to glamorize the Marcos dictatorship. So this is absolutely, this is a political strategy that's been used before. And now it's being used on a massive scale. And in fact, we all remember, of course, the Cambridge Analytica scandal that happened in 2016 during the U.S. election. And I think it was 50 million, if I'm not mistaken, about 50 million Facebook accounts. People's information was shared illegally. And really, believe it or not, Bong Bong Marcos, Ferdinand's son, who's running for president, he actually contacted Cambridge Analytica for help with this campaign that he's running right now. So they're being very, very discerning in what they're doing. They're trying to reach a young audience who is too young to remember all this stuff. In the Philippines, apparently more than half of the voters are 40 years of age or younger. And even in public schools in the Philippines, apparently only 6% of all the pages of history in textbooks that they read even mention this martial law era during the Marcos regime. So that all gets kind of glossed over already. And you might know that the present president of the Philippines is this strong-arm guy named Duterte, Rodrigo Duterte. He's done some interesting things as well. His daughter is the running mate of Bong Bong Marcos. And right now, Marcos is leading his closest rival, who is the current vice president. Her name is Leni Robredo. He's leading her by 33 percentage points in recent polls, according to the LA Times. And it's all because of this incredible support from millennial voters, Generation Z, who are too young to remember the tragedies of the Marcos regime. And so I want to hear what you have to say about this. If you were a Catholic who lived through that, let me know. I want to hear about this. All right, let's go to Jose, who's calling from Fremont, California. Hello, Jose.
Hi, Cale. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well. What's your take on all of this?
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm like 50 years old right now, and so I saw personally myself what happened at that time when Marcos was there. And so when Marcos left and the other side of the political spectrum came into power, not a whole lot was done by these people. And so a generation of Filipinos were born, they grew up, and they didn't really see a whole lot. And so it's very easy for them to believe that when a lot of folks say, hey, Marcos did this, did that, and at the same time, you know, the people that were anti-Marcos at that time that were in power, they didn't really do a whole lot. And so they easily fall, you know, into that belief. But, you know, I've seen what Marcos did at that time, and it was like, you know, I mean, the guy was in power for 20 years. I mean, that pretty much should say everything. But, yeah, like what I said, a whole lot of younger Filipinos, they didn't know what happened. And when they were born and they raised and what they saw, you know, what the anti-Marcos did when they were in power, they didn't do a whole lot. I mean, they're easily persuaded. And that nowadays, especially with TikTok, that's what's going to happen.
Now, thank you very much for that call, Jose, calling from Fremont, California. Yeah, and so what I mean, I don't know the ins and outs. I don't know too much about the Marcos dictatorship, obviously from a personal standpoint, although I've heard a lot about it in conversations with my wife's relatives. And by the way, I should clarify, and Patrick Alog, who's taking calls for us tonight, pointed this out, that the vice presidential race in the Philippines is actually a separate election. There's a separate election for the vice president. So just to clarify that. And I want to hear what it was like for Catholics during that regime. But I think what really scares me about this is just the concept that history can be forgotten so quickly. It's very common today, and it's shocking to me that this is the case. But all the Holocaust deniers that have popped up in the last few decades, the last few years even, saying that never happened. And so there are always attempts to whitewash history, and that's a real danger here. We have to know our history. We have to know our Catholic history, especially as well. So let's go now to Anna, who's calling from San Francisco. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I sure
Yeah,
can.
hi.
Thanks for calling in. What's
Yeah.
your take on all this?
Well, that's the thing with the young people nowadays, because they did not grow up, during the Marcos time, the Marcos years. Okay? They call him dictatorship, they call him all kinds of names, all bad names, but they did not know what he did. He did so much for the Filipino in the Philippines. And for them to call him that he stole money, no, that money, actually, Marcos was already, okay, he was already high class. He was already rich. He didn't need the Filipinos' money for him to keep it. No, he actually built hospitals, built a lot of infrastructure that is built in the Philippines that those young people did not know anything about. And now they're using it, but they didn't know that it was built by Marcos. Even the street that are now in EDSA, I mean, he built a lot of things, but and then they call him a dictatorship. He was not. He is the best president ever.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's I would say that, Anna, thank you for your call. That's kind of an uncommon take, I would think. Does anybody out there disagree with Anna, who's calling from San Francisco? She says that Marcos was the best president ever, and he did not steal billions of dollars from the Filipino people. That's not what I read, but who am I? Who am I? So I'm sure many people would maybe disagree with you there on that one, Anna. All right, let's go to Carmela, who's calling from Chicago. Hi, Carmela.
Hi, Kale.
Hi. What are your thoughts?
I'm so glad I got through.
You
You
did.
know, I'm 55 years old. I live in Chicago, and I left the Philippines when I was 12. I only been there 3 times after that. And from what I grew up in while I was there, I was very young though, but and what I saw, there was a lot, like I agree with the last caller and even Jose, a lot of people were anti-Marcos that we hear of, and all the negative stuff that they were saying. However, a lot of like the lady said on the previous call, there's a lot of infrastructures that the Marcos administration had created, like the PACC, like the big theaters that we have, the roads, the businesses, and this is what I hear from my parents, and not just blindly, that I saw it happen as well, and then agree with Jose, when they took over, you can't really tell what they really did after that, So, I mean, I wish them luck on what, they're the ones who lives there and who's, going to pick their next president. I just hope that, I mean, I can't say that he's like a totally innocent man, but I think he did some work for the country. And a lot of, even my husband don't agree with that, but
And
that's
okay,
it.
well, interesting take, Carmela. What about all the political assassinations? What do you think about that? There's a big report in Amnesty International that came out about that kind of cataloged all of this stuff. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, we've heard about that. I mean, you know, growing up and even when I already left the country and they said, you know, there was like people assassinated. If you don't get along with them, you'll be gone, you know. But I mean, I don't know how true that is either. But only the visibles that we saw of some people, like, you know, the improvement that he did with the tourism, you know. And I think they were, I can say, but, you know, the economy is different in every generation. So I can say that they got really so much better after the Marcoses were gone.
Okay. All right. Well, Carmela, thank you very much for your call and for your thoughts on this. I'm wondering whether people agree with you out there. The number to call again for the Cale Clark Show is 888-914-9149. We're discussing an article that came out in the Los Angeles Times yesterday talking about how presidential hopeful in the Philippines, which is a predominantly Catholic country still, although that's changing to some extent. I'll talk about more about that in a minute. Bongbong Marcos, who is the son of the late dictator Ferdinand Marcos, is now running for president and has a sizable lead on his nearest challenger. The election happens on Monday, but apparently TikTok is being used to kind of whitewash a lot of the crimes of his dad's regime with martial law, political killings, and the theft of billions of dollars from the Filipino people. We're going to go now to Joseph, who's calling from Bellflower, California. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, Cale. Really like your show, and I really even more like your faith explained.
Oh, thanks. That's very kind of you, Joseph. And, appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome, and God bless you. We're praying for you.
Thank you.
I have an interesting experience because my wife's father-in-law was a political prisoner under Marcos, and he was actually released when John Paul II visited in 1981. And it's a very complicated political system over there. Mm-hmm. The biggest problem is that people are paid basically the equivalent of like $20, I think, something like that, and that's their vote. And they basically buy it because they need food, and that becomes their whole 4 years is that food that they can get with the $20 they get. And it's very common. It's done all the time. And to tell you frankly, though, I think other people have mentioned this, Marcos himself did create a lot of the infrastructure and did help in a lot of ways there. He built some of the best hospitals. And the big problem in the Philippines with Marcos was not him. It was the wife. Imelda was the problem. Her side is, in fact, that's part of what happened with my father-in-law. And, you know, so it's really complex. Marcos was in some ways good for the common Filipinos compared, but afterwards it's all been bad. It's gotten really bad since Marcos. So it's hard to even say.
Sorry, Joseph, your cell phone's cutting out just a little bit, but obviously political corruption is always a besetting temptation there. And I had thought that Manny Pacquiao was going to run for president in the Philippines. Did that ever happen? Maybe he can take Bongbong, you know, to the middle of the ring and, you know, Bongbong, you know, they'll ring the bell and they'll have at it. I don't know. But I don't know if Manny Pacquiao is still planning on running for president, but we'll see. We'll see. We're going to go back to the... Thank you, Joseph, for that call. Joseph in Bellflower, California. We're going to go now to Fides, who's calling from San Francisco. Fides, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, good afternoon from San Francisco. I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
I was in high school when martial law was declared, and my eldest brother was arrested the day after they declared martial law.
I only knew
about all the torturers. Yeah. I only knew about the torturers that they did to him years later. But I can attest that martial law has... Marcos was one who had tortured those who did not agree with him. And I can attest to that because one of them was my brother.
Oh, my goodness.
Earlier, you know, Marcus was doing okay. I agree to that. But after the first 4 years, it became different. Imelda Marcos would invite a lot of dignitaries from different countries. And there was a spot there. It's in Manila. There's a spot there. It's called Tondo. And there's that's where all the poor people live. They're all the squatters. And she would build walls, so that when the visitors came at the stretch of Rojas Boulevard, where they say, yes, she built this and that and this and that, she reclaimed part of Manila Bay to build all this one to show people that, you know, the Philippines is doing good and this and that. What happened? She built that, so the water once had to look for another way, and so it's flooding part of a big part of Manila, and so the people who lost their jobs because she had to reclaim that, people who were going to fish, and they call them Batinos, lost their jobs because she wanted to. She reclaimed all the part of Rojas Boulevard to build all this, what they call is infrastructure. So she was all for, and Marcos was, everything is a lie.
Okay.
Everything is a lie.
Well, Fides, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate that. And this is an education for me to hear about the background of this. And I was quite young, hopefully I'm still young, when all this stuff was going on. And but obviously, it's a big news item right now because the former Philippine dictator, the late Ferdinand Marcos, his son, Ferdinand Jr., or commonly known by his nickname Bongbong, it's just fun to say that, is running, and he has a sizable lead in Monday's election. Los Angeles Times, many other media outlets are reporting, the Globe and Mail here in Toronto, that social media manipulation is being used to make the young forget about the dictatorship. We'll be right back after this really short break here on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Hang with me.
Clark Show. Have a question? Give Cale a call at 888-914-9149.
Hey, welcome back to the program on this Friday. Yeah, again, that phone number, you just heard it, 888-914-9149. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. We'll get back to our topic in just a second, but I just want to thank all of you once again for all of your generous contributions during this week's Pledge Drive, our Give Hope campaign. It's our spring theme. We do this four times a year to keep Relevant Radio coming to you. And so we can't do it without you. We had a need of $3 million this week, and we're almost there. We're just a few thousand dollars short, and I'm sure we're going to get over the hump this weekend. And you can be a part of it, too. If you haven't had a chance to make a gift yet, you can still do it and have that gift match 100%. It's a matching hour right now, 877-291-0123. That's the pledge line number to call, and friendly operators are standing by to help you. But you can also donate securely, quickly online at relevantradio.com and through the Relevant Radio app. So once again, thanks to everybody who made a contribution. You're part of the family. We can't do it without you. And thank you so very much for helping to bring this show and so many other programs here on Relevant Radio to you. So we were talking about the story I came across last night in the Los Angeles Times about the fact that the son of the Philippine dictator Ferdinand Marcos is running for president. His name is Ferdinand Jr., goes by the nickname of Bongbong. And there's an attempt that he's made through social media, through TikTok, through troll farms online to send out glitzy videos that makes his father's a brutal dictatorship look like some form of Camelot, something from the Kennedy years, glitz and glamour, the glory days. And a lot of Filipinos are too young to remember the days of martial law from the 1970s, 1980s. But many people listening who are Filipinos who have moved to the United States, many of them Catholics, because it is a predominantly Catholic country, although that is changing. There are a lot of evangelical missionaries who go to the Philippines on the regular to try to convert them away from Catholicism, not to mention a very large Muslim population in the south, and even a lot of, unfortunately, it's become a base for a lot of terrorist activities as well. That's changing the shape of things there. And with respect to the missionary work, I remember a few years ago, Tim Tebow, we all remember Tim Tebow, right? The famous Heisman Trophy winner from the Florida Gators, had some success, a little bit, won a playoff game with the Broncos in the NFL. He was very famous for going to the Philippines every year. His parents were missionaries there to try to convert them away from Catholicism. Now, he thought that he was helping them, of course, helping them to get closer to Christ by leaving the Catholic Church, but can't do it. It can't be done. You can't get any closer to Jesus Christ than when you receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. And you can only get that in the Catholic Church. And I know the Orthodox churches of the East have a valid Eucharist as well. I know that. But they don't have the papacy. They don't have, they're missing part of the full meal deal as well that God has given the Catholic Church. So I want your take on this, but the phone lines are just lighting up right now. So if you want to get in on this conversation, 888-914-9149 is the number to call. What do you think about this attempt to erase the brutal dictatorial history of the Marcos regime? Is his son actually going to win this thing? How will this affect Catholics? I want to hear your thoughts. We're going to go now to Sheila, who's calling from Toronto. Hi, Sheila.
Hey, Kale. How are you?
I'm great, great. Thanks for calling in. What's your take on this?
Yeah, so I was actually maybe about 8 or 9 years old during the People Power Revolution. My parents took us to a couple of the rallies. There was like a mass, and then there was a rosary.
Okay.
And they went to the one where the military tanks were there, and the sisters, the religious sisters, knelt down and were praying the rosary, and the military actually didn't fire on them. So that was pretty miraculous.
That is incredible.
And I'm just a little emotional because I'm trying to remember.
You were born, Sheila, in the Philippines and came to North America when you were how old?
I think I was 11. Yeah.
Okay, so you have some memories of the People Power Revolution. And just for people listening who may not know what the People Power Revolution was, can you just say a little bit about that, what that was all about?
I guess it was just like a movement, a peaceful movement, a peaceful revolution that ousted the Marcos regime. You know, people were fed up with corruption, with the tortures, with the oppression, and they wanted democratic reform. And it was under Cory Aquino. Our leader at that time. I guess I can't understand how people forget history. After the revolution, we actually were there were public visits where the Marcoses lived in Malacañang Palace, and we actually saw Imelda's 2,000 pairs of shoes.
You saw them?
Because they were. They were, displaying them and showing people like the excesses. And I don't know what my comment is. I'm just kind of just surprised that people forget what happened, the history behind the revolution and just the lessons that, we just forgot.
It's not like this is like hundreds of years ago. This is like, this was within a lot of lifetimes of most of us, and just a few short years ago, and yet people are forgetting what has happened. And I'm so thankful that you called in to share that, Sheila. And I have to ask you, we attempted to grab a couple pairs of shoes while you're there to see the Imelda Marcos collection.
No, not really.
No, I'm just kidding. But that's a lot of shoes. That is for sure. But I think most people know. I mean, when they think of Imelda Marcos, that's the first thing they think of. Obviously, she was quite well known for that excess. And Sheila, thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate that call. Thank you. That was Sheila from Toronto, who was a little girl. Was there and this People's Power Revolution? I didn't know that they brought out like military tanks, and it was. It sounds like it was almost like a Tiananmen Square situation. Religious sisters, nuns praying in front of the tanks. I did not know this. So you guys are educating me on this topic as well. And again, I just can't believe that history is being erased through social media. 888-914-9149 is the number to call here on The Cale Clark Show. We're going to go to Emil on line 11 in Benicia, California. Hi, Emil.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Gail.
Hi.
Kyle.
Kale. But, hey, Kale. I've been called much worse, trust me.
I was in the Philippines growing up. I think I was in my early 20s when I came here in the United States. I just want to add another person who got killed during Marcos' regime, and that's Benigno Aquino, the political enemy of Marcos.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He was in the U.S. Trying to recover from, I believe it's a heart problem. He was in the U.S. for 3 years in, I think, Massachusetts area. And when he returned to the Philippines, they tried to make it not known, especially to Marcos. But when he came to the Philippines, he was killed by a former prison. As soon as he was shot, right in the airport, as soon as this guy shot Benigno Aquino, that guy was killed by a soldier. Can you imagine who's in charge of the soldier?
Mm.
I'm not saying that Marcos, you know, definitely is behind it, but it just wonder what really happened.
So, by the way, Emil, am I correct in assuming that Benigno Aquino, who was assassinated, that was the husband of Cory Aquino, who became the leader of the opposition, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Just to clarify that, I thought that was the case, but just making sure. So, Emil, thank you very much for your call from Benicia, California. Thanks for listening to the program and for your thoughts on this. All right, we're going to go to Rowena, who's calling from Tampa, Florida. Hi, Rowena.
Hi, can you hear me?
I sure can. You're on the air.
Okay, hi. Thank you. Yes, I lived in the Philippines, and I remember my mom telling me that she and others were intimidated if they found out that you were voting for the opposition. So that just tells you that... you know, he's a dictator, and so many people wanted him out. I remember as a little girl, they had a ceremony, and this one gentleman was so upset that he took out a bolo knife and just started whacking at Mrs. Marcos, and I think other people on the stage were also getting whacked. But there were so many people who wanted him out of power. And then it just tells you if you're having to, you know, employ, I guess it was Analytica and TikTok to erase the votes or erase history, that just tells you a lot that, you know, why are they doing that? What's the motive? Well, we know what the motive is.
Interesting, Rowena. Yeah, not exactly in the time of Ferdinand Marcos Sr., not exactly free and fair elections, I guess you could say. And that's the interesting thing to me, Rowena, is this concept that this could even happen. Like, I mean, everybody's got the internet. Everybody who's over there, who's on TikTok, who's watching these promotional videos that the Marcos Jr. campaign is spreading, trying to erase his father's legacy. And again, I don't know whether he himself, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., is any better. I don't know what his policies are. I know nothing about this. All I know is what I read yesterday in the LA Times, that this was happening. And I'm thinking to myself, every young person with a smartphone who's on TikTok, who's seeing this stuff, can they not also Google things as well? Can they not also talk to maybe their parents or their grandparents or other relatives and who obviously lived through this stuff? I just don't see how this is even possible, but yet it is. It is, and this dumbfounds me. I just can't imagine. So, Rowena, thank you very much for your call. That was Rowena calling from Tampa, Florida. This is unbelievable. Oh, and by the way, Patrick Alog tells me that yes, Manny Pacquiao apparently is running. Now, I thought he'd be a shoo-in if he ever ran for president in the Philippines, the boxing champion, one of the greatest boxers of all time, Manny Pacquiao, who Floyd Mayweather ducked for years before he finally fought him. He waited till he was way past his prime. I would have loved to have seen those two go at it when Manny was in his in full bloom. And yeah, I did pay for the pay-per-view and was incredibly disappointed to watch Floyd run around and hide from him all night. Remember that a few years ago? Anyways, boxing fans, you know what I'm talking about. But apparently, Manny Pacquiao is only got 7%, excuse me, not 70, but 7% in polling numbers right now. So he is way, way behind this political machine of Ferdinand Marcos Jr., otherwise known as Bong Bong. And anyways, okay, so let's go back to the phones right now. We've got maybe a different take on this from Vince. Vince is calling from San Jose. Hi, Vince.
Hi, Kale. Good afternoon. I'm a longtime listener to your show.
Oh, well, thank you.
As a person, but I don't think anything I'm going to say is going to sway your opinion of Marcos regardless. It's because, you know, I grew up in the Philippines. I was 12 and I migrated to the United States. So we were martial law babies. We were martial law kids. My dad worked as an accounting technician in the office of the President Budget Commission. So my dad has some knowledge of what's going on, what went on during the martial law years and everything, even to the point where that guy Benigno Aquino, who was basically Cory Aquino's husband, was assassinated in 1986, was himself assassinated by Cory Aquino's own next of kin, a cousin, Eduardo Polanco. Okay. So all these things that I'm hearing about, the LA Times telling you all these stories and whatnot, come on.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't know much about this stuff at all. She was born in North America. Obviously, her parents talk about that at all. So, so Vince, obviously, you disagree with this take. And do you think that Ferdinand Marcos Jr. is a good guy?
I believe in my heart he is, because I've seen all of his YouTube videos where he's not attacking Lenny Robredo, the NPA communist leaders. You know, the ones that they're supporting, the leftist clergy in the Philippines. They're actually the ones that are doing the recruiting for the NPA. You know, I say this because I'm really seething, okay? Right now, I'm really seething because I'm hearing this, and it's a polarizing item for us Filipinos here in the United States.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way, Vince. And thank you very much for calling, for listening to the program, for your kind words about the show. So Vince, with a totally different take than most of the calls that we're hearing, he's saying that the person who is running against Ferdinand Marcos Jr. in the election, Lenny Robredo, is actually supported by communists and leftist clergy. So, again, like I am not an aficionado of the political situation over there. But again, what kind of caught my eye about this story, and it's not just being reported by the LA Times; it's being reported by a lot of different media outlets, the Globe and Mail in Toronto. All kinds of different news outlets are reporting on this election. And what traditionally has been a very Catholic country in the Philippines, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., son of the late dictator, is running for president and has a sizable lead in Monday's election. A lot of expats, a lot of Filipino expats living in North America, living in various places around the world, are following this. And there's a lot of takes on this, a lot of takes. All right, let's go to Jerry, who's calling from San Francisco. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Kale. I wasn't surprised to hear most of your callers are like me, Filipino-Americans. I was there during the Edsa Revolution. I was in college back then and migrated here in my 30s. So I know what happened back then. And your earlier caller, you know, I kind of agree with him that, you know, I think Bong Bong is a good guy. There are some topics during the debate where I believe Bong Bong should not be penalized for the sins of his father.
Okay.
But somehow I felt that during all of these presidential campaign and debates, my personal take is that I didn't see him nor his family any sign of remorse or apologies or resentment for what have happened during those regime, and that you know, Bong Bong's generic reply to any reporter question is that It's already in the courts. Let the lawyers and the courts decide on it. And so, with all of the recent developments that Bongbong didn't pay his income tax returns for 4 years when he was governor, and all of the other things, that I believe went out in social media, that's why most of the Catholic bishops and priests are now supporting a better and a more ethical candidate, which is our vice president, Lenny Robredo. So just wanted to share that with you, Cale.
Okay, well, yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Jerry. And yeah, you're right. That was actually a quote that I read from Bongbong in the article. Yeah, whenever he is asked about this, whenever journalists ask Bongbong about his dad's regime, corruption that took place during that time, the political executions, there are two stock replies that he keeps bringing up. He keeps saying fake news, number one. It's so easy to say that, right? Like, he just keeps saying fake news. And then he also says, let the courts decide. So those are his two stock responses when he's asked about this. So, wow, this is generating a lot of conversation here on the Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. We're talking about the article that appeared in the LA Times yesterday about how Philippine presidential hopeful Ferdinand Marcos Jr., also known as Bongbong, is using TikTok especially to wipe away the historical record of his father's dictatorial regime in the minds of young voters. 40% of voters in the Philippines are millennials or Gen Z, and they will be deciding the election that's going to take place on Monday. And in this predominantly Catholic country, there are, of course, a lot of expats all around the world who have hot takes on this. One of them is Roy. Roy is calling from Poway, California. Hello, Roy.
Yes, hi, Cale. Good afternoon. And to all the listeners there, I hope everybody's doing a good afternoon. Just want to, say something real quick about this. Marcos had two terms of office. The first one was from 1967 until 1971. And then when he was teetering on the brink of defeat from Benigno Aquino, he incarcerated the guy, right? So from 1971, he declared martial law all the way up until the time that he was booted out of the Philippines in 86. So that was a long time.
That was a long time, except for the time he lifted it for a short time when JP2 visited the country.
Yeah, which was a miracle, really. But the atrocities, the corruption, they hid a lot of things. The propaganda was really rampant so that people would not know the real deal.
And, well, Roy, let me ask you this. Did the visit of the Pope galvanize the people to say, like, this guy needs to go? Did that have any effect on the political situation, in your view?
I'm pretty sure it did. What really galvanized the people, though, was the August 21 movement when Ninoy Aquino got assassinated at the airport in Manila when he came back to the Philippines. He was released to get better in Boston, but he chose to go back to the Philippines because he felt that there needed to be a change, a real change, so that the suffering of the Filipino people would be alleviated through his leadership.
Okay. All right. Well, Roy, thank you very much for that background. That was Roy calling from Poway, California. With your take on that situation, you're listening to the Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. We're going to go to Andrea, who's calling from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Cale. So it's all very confusing because the rhetoric, everybody's always talking up whoever they're following. And so it's hard to tell. But whoever wins, then they control the history that's written.
To some extent, and, yeah. It's always said that, history is written by the winners at some level, right? So,
exactly. And so I would like to see what the new
history books that are written under the Biden regime say about Donald Trump. I think that would be revealing.
Well, I mean, we're kind of still. This is all pretty fresh. I mean, this is a big question. I mean, I think you're, Andrea, thanks very much for your call. And I use the term regime. There are still free elections. I know people dispute that in the United States. So thankfully there are those free elections and hopefully they're fair elections. I know people have different hot takes on that. I'm not here to debate that. But one thing that I think is interesting with respect to what's happened recently with Elon Musk purchasing Twitter, it looks like that's going to go through. Is that he's concerned about free speech. He's concerned about people being able to have their say. And the concept that big tech and big media is in some way controlling official narratives or pushing certain viewpoints, I don't think we can really deny that at this point. There's no question that certain stories have been killed. And again, I don't want to delve too deeply into the politics of all that, but one great example is obviously the Hunter Biden laptop story that was squashed, and there have been no apologies for that. That has now come out to the truth of that has been pretty well established at this point. And so I'll be very interested to see how things will go in the coming months and years with respect to all of that, especially with regard to social media. Because one of the things that, again, the Philippine story says to me once again how easy it is to manipulate people through social media. There's no question about that. And most of the media that people are looking at for information is social media right now. And that one quote, that chilling quote from the LA Times piece, that 25-year-old Filipina lady who was interviewed about this, she said, "We don't need the history books anymore. We have social media now," as if that is, you know, the Bible when it comes to what's going on. Wow. So this is wild. We're going to go really quickly to Renee in Greenfield, Wisconsin. Hi, Renee.
Hi. Greetings. Anyways, quickly, my comment is that you did ask about Catholicism during the Marcos era.
Yes. Yes. I want to hear about that.
The Marcos are Catholics, so not much of a trouble. But if the clergy or any Catholics would speak against the government, then you get in trouble. But, you know, during the Edsa Revolution, I was an altar boy. We did the nightly vigils. So we supported the Edsa Revolution through prayers. And I saw, like Sheila, I saw the shoes. I went to Malacanang Palace to do a tour. The only thing that struck me there is the shoes, definitely. Well, Imelda claims that many of those are just gifts. So I'll give her the benefit of the doubt for that. But they have an altar. They have an altar where, you know, the Santo Niño was there, the Buddha was there. But I'm not, you know, maybe it's just a collection, but there was a shrine there that has all the gods, Christian gods, Hindu gods.
So I saw that. Maybe a little bit polytheistic there. Renee, thank you for that. Yeah, who knows? Maybe those shoes were gifts. I don't know. Nobody's gifting me any shoes. I'd like a nice collection of Air Jordans, by the way, if anybody's listening. I'm only kidding. But hey, listen, thanks to everybody who called in tonight. Wow, what a topic. The election that's going on, social media manipulation in the Philippines, in that country where so many faithful are there. And the faith of people in the Philippines has really emanated out all around the world. And once again, thanks to everybody who has contributed this week to our Give Hope campaign here at Relevant Radio. You can still do so. But going to the website, the app, or calling 877-291-0123. All gifts are matched 100%. Jim Shaper produced this week. Patrick Alog took your calls. Take it away, Michaela. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.